Now, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, thereabouts. And Easter is the time when, within the Christian world at least, we reflect upon Calvary, the cross. This year, I've challenged myself with sermons that I take, looking at various prayers in the Bible. But today I want to look at the 4 prayers that Jesus prayed as he went through the Calvary experience that helped him get through it. But before we open our Bibles, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this walk through your Bible this morning, through your Word, that the 4 prayers we look at, may they challenge us. May they draw us closer to you. May they give us a greater appreciation of the one who we worship and adore. Be here by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer number 1. If you have your Bibles, come with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 38. We pick it up there. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What a moment it was for Jesus. He knew from the very beginning of time that one day that there was a possibility that a planet may go astray. The plan was put into place. And when Adam and Eve partook of that fruit, Jesus knew that somewhere down the track, this was going to happen. But you see, a plan is one thing. Reality is something else. And as the centuries rolled by, and as the holy trio in heaven looked forward to that date, it was always a plan. And then, on time, the little babe of Bethlehem was born. He grew up, as the record says, in the stature of God and man. We see Jesus right on time being baptized by John in the River Jordan. And as he began and went through those 3.5 years of ministry, slowly but surely, the shadow of a cross began to take shape. But now he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, he experienced what we would call today a moment of truth. What is a moment of truth? by definition. A moment of truth is that moment in time when theory and reality meet and kiss each other. An example I always use of this, and I know there's someone sitting in the audience who probably knows all about this one. But a young person decides they want to go and become a surgeon. They go to university. And they study and they might pass with flying colours. They have honours. They are tutored. They are lectured. They are given all the best education they can possibly get. They know it all. But I will guarantee that for that young person, when they go into the theatre and they stand beside the operating table and they put out their hand and take the scalpel and they are about to begin their first solo operation, for that person, it is a moment of truth. Can you do it? You're on your own. And here was Jesus, here in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was no longer a game, it was no longer a theory. He knew in a few short hours he would be beaten, spat upon, the mockery of a trial, the nails would hurt. The crown of thorns was going to be painful. It's not going to be good. And there in that Garden of Gethsemane, as he was coming to grips with all of this, and the book The Five Ages, in the chapter entitled Gethsemane, challenge yourself and read it sometime. There, as he went to pray, he was not there alone. Because there on that night, the devil knew that this was his last chance. Now or never. As Jesus prayed this prayer, as Jesus knelt to pray this prayer, the devil was there saying, "Hey you, you're a failure. Go out. You're not wanted here. Look at them all. Your 12 have gone to sleep. One will betray you, another one will deny you, and the rest will scatter. Go out. Planet Earth belongs to me, not you." And as Jesus knelt there in the Garden of Gethsemane, at that moment he could not see Sunday morning. And he prayed, "Father, is there another way? Is there another way?" But Jesus also knew something else. And he discovered the reality of that simple saying that you cannot have your cake and eat it too. He discovered, he knew that if he had to save humanity, he had to face Calvary. What would he do? What would he do? As he considered all those from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve to us today, the choice was either to go through the horror of the cross or walk away from it all. I'm reminded, I have at home a video at home of Michael Crawford in concert. And at the beginning of that concert he sings a song called Gethsemane. It's from the stage musical Jesus Christ Superstar. And while the theology of that song may be a little bit wrong, but the emotion of the song that Michael Crawford puts into it is so correct. Because there in the garden, Jesus is discovering that this is knowing to hurt. And as he contemplates the whole of humanity from Adam and Eve to us, he knew there was only one choice to make. To save humanity, to save those who he loves, he must face Calvary. And so with the realization there was no other way, and with the words of encouragement from an angel sent from heaven at that moment, Jesus was able to pray with conviction, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." And as Jesus came from the Garden of Eden, that Garden of Gethsemane that night, he came with a very strong sense of mission. And that mission was to save humanity. And save us, he will. In this first prayer, we see Jesus coming to grips with the hugeness of the cost of saving humanity. And, in considering the cost, decided that we were worth the price. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Prayer number two. Prayer number one is in Gethsemane. Prayer number two, Luke 23. Beginning with verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here we have the second prayer. The trial had taken place and it was a total sham. And all who were involved with the trial knew that it was a sham. But you know how much of life is a sham. When Adam and Eve took the fruit, were they willing to admit to it? No. They blamed each other. And really, humanity has blamed each other ever since. We're good at doing that. Never do we admit that we are wrong. We are more than willing to blame someone else. But now Jesus is brought to the cross. The soldiers have a work to do and they are only interested in getting the job done. The two other men were probably doing enough screaming for everyone. But for the one who was given the job of nailing Jesus, I'm sure they must have started to wonder when they heard those simple words, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Who was Jesus forgiving that day? Was it just the soldiers? Was he just giving forgiveness to the rulers who made sure he was on the cross? No. There was more to the story than that. From that simple prayer that Jesus prayed that day, forgiveness was being offered to Adam and Eve. For From that simple prayer that Jesus prayed, he gave forgiveness to every boy and girl, man and woman, who would ever live. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that prayer applies to you and to me. Do we appreciate that when we do wrong, that we are also guilty of putting Jesus on the cross? You know, the soldiers nailed him there. But in reality, it was your sin and my sin that kept him there. The soldiers nailed him. But it's your sin and my sin that kept him there. Love for you and for me kept him on that cross. Have you ever stood at the foot of that cross and heard Jesus as he prays, Father, forgive. Father, forgive. Put your name there. Father, forgive, for this person doesn't know what they're doing. Father, forgive. 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 It is interesting. In the first prayer at Gethsemane, we see and appreciate an emotion of Jesus, the raw emotion of discovering and appreciating what the cross would entail, the pain and the hurt. In this second prayer of Jesus, we appreciate and catch a glimpse of the depth of his love for humanity. Father, Father, forgive. Father, forgive. But then there's prayer number three. Prayer number three is Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. We have an interesting prayer. We have a prayer that's full of emotion. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we have an interesting thing that is happening. Jesus is crying out to his Father, and the cry shows a powerful message. The cry of the heart of Jesus was real in that moment. Where are you? Where are you? The pain is real. The anguish is real. The sin, the weight of the sin of the world was crushing him out. And in that moment, Jesus is screaming, Dad, where are you? I can't see you. I can't see you. Does his Father care? The pain is real, and the sight of the prize is becoming faint. Very faint. We see here that Jesus is showing emotion that is very real, very raw. And we should take courage from this. There is nothing wrong with emotion. There is nothing wrong with emotion. Jesus showed his emotion. And we see the emotion happening in this scene. Father, where are you? Had his Father forsaken him? No. No. But see, to save humanity, there could be no shortcuts. And the pain of the cross was real. It was not make-believe. The cost of sin was being thrown at that body. It was all for real. It would hurt. It is interesting to note that as we look at these prayers, they follow a pattern. The first prayer shows emotion. The first prayer is showing trust and care for those for lost humanity. The third prayer, we again see the emotion of Jesus. But in the fourth prayer, we see complete trust. Complete trust. And how many of us can relate to this in our own lives? We have highs, we have lows. We have ups and downs. And we think we are on our own. No, we're not. No, we're not. And in what we're looking at today, we can all take heart that we have a Saviour who does know, who can appreciate, who can relate to every emotion that you and I will ever have to face. What hope that you give to us. What hope. But then we come to the fourth prayer. Luke 23 in verse 45. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The battle was almost done. How much longer could it go on for? Jesus had the drink of the cup of that second death, and drink it dry he did. In the book Desire of Ages, in the chapter entitled Gethsemane, the chapter entitled Calvary, in the last two paragraphs, I read these beautiful words. Suddenly, the gloom lifted from the cross, and in clear trumpet-like tones that seemed to resound throughout creation, Jesus cried, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." A light encircled the cross, and the face of the Saviour shone with a glory like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died. Amid the awful darkness, apparently forsaken of God, Christ had drained the last dregs in the cup of human woe. In those dreadful hours, he had relied upon the evidence of his Father's acceptance heretofore given to him. He was acquainted with the character of his Father. He understood his justice, his mercy, and his great love. By faith, he rested in him who it had ever been his joy to obey. And as in submission he committed himself to God, the sense of the loss of his Father's favour was withdrawn. By faith, Christ was victor. What a Saviour we have. And He wants to be your Saviour today. And to each of us He gives the promise of assurance that is real for today and real for tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 4. Come with me there. Hebrews chapter 4. Here the Apostle Paul made an observation which is well worth remembering. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then it adds, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly. Here we are reminded of something that is very, very special, that we have a high priest who can relate to what we are going through. That we have a high priest who can look at you and me in the eye at every disaster that we face and say, yep, I know what you're going through. Been there, done that. That's special. That's special. That we have a high priest who can relate to us that well. And then we are given the invitation, let us therefore come boldly. Come with confidence. Don't be afraid to come. Come knowing that He will hear. Come knowing that He loves us. He is ever willing to be a part of our lives. He wants to be a part of our lives. Because He won and got the victory, we can look in hope in getting that victory through Him. He gave everything for us. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 is our final verse, our final text. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 is to each of us is given a beautiful invitation. Verse 28. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come. As we look at the cross, as we consider the horror that it was, as we consider the emotion that Jesus went through, let us come with confidence. Let us come with confidence knowing that He will hear us. Let us come with confidence knowing that Jesus can relate to our problem. Let us come with confidence knowing that Jesus loves us. Let us come with confidence knowing that with Jesus there is hope. And that through Jesus we can have rest. That we can have rest today for our soul. What a beautiful Saviour we have. Let us come to Him today and sit at His feet. Is my prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing love. And may this love abide in our hearts today and for the rest of our lives. is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.